You've been set free from death. Death has no control over you.
That's right.
You can't die because you died the day you was born again.
Amen.
So just think on that for a second. Well, that's true. I mean, how can you kill a dead man? You can't. You cannot kill a dead man. Wow. The old body is dead, but the new man's alive. And the new man who's alive will live forever.
Hallelujah.
It's kind of like last week we ended with John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that he who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. We went back to the beginning. Wow, that's right. I mean, that's how much God paid the price for us.
Amen.
Gave His life. So we are worth something, amen?
Amen?
And if God paid a big price for us, He's going to protect us, right?
Amen.
Amen. He is. And so we had to realize, okay, He bought me again. When He bought me, I died. In Him, I'll reign forever.
Amen.
So what do I have to fear? Really, if you concentrate on it, it will help release you from a lot of pressure, this with a lot of things that you're worrying about. Oh wow, I can enjoy it today. You know, I can enjoy this day because I have passed from death to life.
Amen.
Not saying you won't have concerns, but to have no fear. Now, anytime you have fear, if you know you're not following the Master,
amen.
You know, if you're saying praise the Lord, but in here you're dancing with Satan, then you have fear in your life, you know. And that's a good fear, probably, because they're going to wake you up and say, okay, I don't have this thing that the pastor's talking about. What's going on in my life? Show me, Lord. Show me what it is. And He'll do that. Let's go back to the beginning for a moment. Something the Lord showed me here during praise and worship. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Easiest book in the Bible to find, that and Revelation. It should be the first book in the Bible, unless you got your Bible upside down. Then no. But I'd like to go to chapter 1. And verse 26. Anybody else ever do that? God gives you something, you grab whatever you can find. I found a napkin, so write down. I got pieces of paper all over the house. Even then, they're right on toilet paper. Verse 26, chapter 1. This is God. This is Jehovah. This is who you just worship. This is the one who created you. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them roll over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy things that creep on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and roll over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which their fruit yielding seed, it shall be yours for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, and to every bird in the sky, and everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good, and there was evening, and there was morning, and there was sixth day. This creation that we called earth, God created it, did He not? He created everything, and He put every tree, every plant, species, everything. Then He made you in His likeness. And He gave you dominion over the world. He made Adam. Give him a direction. It's all yours, man. I made this. I planted you here. You take care of it. You have all authority. But watch out. There's a sneaky one out there. He's going to tempt you. But I'm telling you what, do not eat from him. Do not eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because the minute you do, you shall die. Hey, everything else is yours. Rule of it. You got authority? Don't eat from that tree. What did Adam do? Eventually. But see, God hasn't changed. When he created man in his image, he gave us authority over every creepy thing on this world. He hasn't changed. Just because man fell into sin, what God covenant he made with man when he created us, hasn't changed. Now, how many people here wish that Adam had never fallen into sin? How many people here wish that Adam took his job a little more seriously? You know, what did Adam do? Did he get caught up in all the spoils of life? Can you imagine, guys, if any of you guys fish, can you imagine the size of the fish back then? I mean, there's no disease on any of the plants. You gardeners out there, I mean, I can see tomatoes 20 pounds. I mean, in my mind, everything is perfect. Oh. What caused Adam to get wrapped up more in himself than the things of God? Don't say woman now. Come on, guys. Bob was going to say that. But remember, I just read, he made man in his image, both male and female. So we're mankind. So we're all in this boat together. Amen? Somewhere, I don't know, maybe Adam's thinking, man, look what I've done. Man, Bonnie, look at the size of these grapes that we just picked from the... Man, I must be the best gardener there is. Did he start, in his own mind, start taking credit for the things of God? Somewhere along the line, he got weakened. One thing, take care of the garden. One stinking little serpent shows up, twists God's words around, and falls in sin. But God hasn't changed. He showed that to us when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came upon this earth, took our sins, our disobedience, took them to the cross, died for them, raised up. Now, as born-again believers, that Spirit of God lives in us, and he hasn't changed. He says you have dominion over the world, right? Is that right? Do you have dominion? Do you have dominion? Are you exercising that dominion? Are you? Seriously? Or are we Adam? Are we so wrapped up in the things of this world that we're not doing what God called us to do and take dominion? We say, oh man, if Adam would let Satan just take over like that, we have a better place. But listen, who are you? Amen. Are you born again? The Spirit of living God live in you? Then take dominion. Get your eyes off the things of this world. Quit wasting your energy on things that mean nothing when it comes to heaven. You're getting sucked in just like Adam did. Your eyes are off to what you're called to do. And that is bring heaven onto earth. To bring peace wherever you walk. To represent Jesus Christ here on earth. And when you walk, you take him with you. But man, the church is so wrapped up and, well, they've done this to me, they've done that to me. Get over it. Let Christ reign in you. Let your mouth be his voice. And take them in and Satan, get out of here. But look at the things that run. We all complain. We complain about the world the way it is, but it's our fault because we don't take the dominion that God given us seriously. We want to shut our door, sit back, and blame everybody. Oh, it's the Democrats. Oh, it's the Republicans. It's this. It's Russia. It's China. No, it's the church. Amen. A great awakening is coming to a sleeping giant called the church. Yes. So wake up. Get on board. Take dominion. Get out of sin. Let God reign in your life or get out of the way. Because God is done playing around. No more can you use the excuse, oh, I'm a work in progress. No, you're not. Either he is your Lord and Savior, or you're walking with the devil. And God says it's time to wake up, and you decide whether you're going to follow Jesus or you're going to play with the world and complain. But I'll tell you that, that's what you want to do, get out of my way. God, step over top of the name of the Lord, because nothing's going to stop what he wants to do. Souls are dying and going to hell every day. Because people don't have enough guts to say, hey, wait, Jesus, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. What you're doing is wrong. It's wrong. Why are we so afraid to share that with people? Why are we so afraid of offending someone and losing a friend? Why do we want to take their meaning and ugliness and hell? Why is that more important than our friendship? Why? Why do we still live in the flesh? Why are your actions controlled by your flesh? Why is your concern about your flesh? Why is tomorrow based upon what you want and not what Yahweh wants? When did you become more important than God? When did you decide, listen, God, I know, but listen, my agenda is more important than you. He says, move it out, clear your agenda, let me reign in your life. How do I step back? Because you're leading people to hell the way you're living your life. Because they're going to follow you. They're going to live the same way that you are living, thinking that they are headed to heaven. They don't see you worshiping the Lord. They don't see you putting Jesus Christ first in your life. You're living a false gospel. And God has warned us many centuries ago. In the times that you and I live in today, there will be a false prophet, there will be false preaching, false converts. Satan will come into the church, wrapped up in sheep's clothing, but he's a wolf. You say, well, how's he doing that? Because he's bringing things into the church that Christ died on the cross for. And he's convincing you it's okay. But God understands. But he understands one thing. He created you in his image. He gave you dominion. Christ died to bring you back and give you that strength. And you turned your back on him because of the things of the flesh. Get the sin out of our camp. Get the sin out of your house. Get the sin out of your heart. Repent to the Lord when you have time to repent. Because he's coming. He's coming quickly. He's coming soon. He says, prepare yourself for the days of the Lord. Things that can be shaken shall be shaken from the heavens to the earth. They're far away. But those who have placed their life on the rock, you will stand. You will be that light on the hillside. You have nothing to fear. God is with you. He'll strengthen you. But if you're one, that's playing church. Seek the Lord where you can. Because you do not want to be the enemy of the Lord. Because he took that sacrifice on the cross seriously. And that's not serious enough for us. There's nothing else he can do for you. If you love the things of this world more than you love Jesus, he even said, if your right eye causes you to sin, to pluck it out. So that friend of yours drags you into the pits all the time. If that friend of yours causes you to sin, you can't handle it, then you better get rid of that friend. Leave him. But I say it's better to walk into heaven without a friend than to be in hell with a multitude. You have to decide. I can't decide. God can't decide. He just tells you up front. He'll equip you for all that He's called you to do. But if we have dominion, or we don't. May the Church of Jesus Christ wake up and see the authority we have given. May we come out of our slumber. May the alarm clock go off and realize, man, may we repent of our sins of unbelief. May we repent for the sins of flesh. I pray we will wake up and see the time that we're truly living in. The time of those who before us wrote about, documented salvations. They've shown us the great day of the Lord is coming. They showed us the signs before He comes. May we see that as an urgency. Not to say the Lord can come. But may our hearts be God one more day. One more day, Lord. That may we be witness. One more day, Lord, can I have a loved one that doesn't know Jesus? One more day, Lord, can I not right with you? One more day that others may enter the kingdom. He will strengthen you to do that. Just as Jesus said, Father, not your will, not my will, but your will be done. May our hearts be there. And that comes by spending hours in the presence of God. Every one of us, myself included, we want to be more like Jesus. We want to be more like Jesus. But we have to do the same thing that Jesus did. And that had a yearning to be in God's presence. I'm telling you what, praise and worship this morning is fantastic. Man, you guys are just worshiping the Lord. That's awesome. I'm telling you, the last several weeks, praise and worship, you guys are worshiping God not with your lips, but with your heart and your spirit. But He wants you to recognize truly who you are, that you have dominion. And He is with you. He strengthens you. When you speak His word, it's the Holy Spirit that goes with you as a born-again believer. I didn't know I was standing on top of this. I'll tell you how powerful you are. Those of you on Tuesday intercede and fast and prayed again. I appreciate you. You see what happened in California this week? As we were praying, fasting for the body of Christ. John MacArthur, the pastor, like us, he yielded for a few weeks. He said, well, it's time to open the church back up. And he went into the church by himself. He just started praising the Lord. A couple of people showed up. And another week, several hundred people showed up. And then within 3 or 4 weeks, there were several thousand people showed up, praising the Lord. And he got an order, cease and desist. You cannot be in your church. Your church has to close. And you cannot worship the Lord. Challenged it. We have a judge that ruled in the favor of the church. Amen. Give God the glory.
Amen.
Give God the glory. And don't give yourself glory, but look what your prayer and fasting did. The Bible shows that it will change the condition of a stone heart. The rule of favor. I'm not saying the judge who ruled was a Christian or not, but hey, I'll pray he is, but hey, long he ruled in the favor of the Lord, amen, God can use him. So don't think that prayer and fasting doesn't work. So in your bulletin, I have my treasurer, my secretary, my praise and worship leader, my co-pastor typed it up. I ask again for this Tuesday if you all would be with me in the fasting, the strength of the body. But I want to change that. I'm actually going to fast with me for the whole week. And folks, you decide on how you want to fast. It's your fast. I mean, if you look in the Bible, there's a complete fast. There's a Daniel fast. I'm going to fast my dinner, whatever it might be. But for us just to bow before the Lord and say, yes, we want to be used by you in a mighty way. And so, I mean, if us fasting, along with others, and we're not the only people praying for Christians, don't get me wrong. But man, can you imagine a week-long fast? Interceding, praying for the church, the body of Christ, for revelation, for the Bible, for the body of Christ. Fasting for yourself, strength to overcome whatever Satan's been thumping you with. One thing you don't have to pray and fast about is to do what God's told you to do. If you read something in the Bible and it says, don't do this, well, I'm not sure. I'm going to pray and see what God said. No, no, no. It ain't going to do any good to pray to get a revelation. Should I do this? No. You pray, God, give me that strength to do that. And He'll give you the strength because what He'll end up doing is removing whatever's blocking you from doing it. And if He says, do this, you have to pray about it. Anything you pray about is pray that God forgive you for your unbelief. Forgive you for your sin, for not following His word. So you can list whatever else through your fasting and prayer this week. God's powerful, I'm telling you. And revelations, I mean, when I come to the end of a fast, I hate to see the end come one way. I love that cheeseburger another way, you know what I'm saying? But the revelation of God's word and what's going on in this world, may He'll speak to you. Now, how many folks were able to fast this week with me? Amen. Awesome. Anyone get a revelation that you want to share? Some of it might be personal. Some of it during prayer or fasting, He might show you what is in your closet to clean out, okay? We don't need to hear that because that's between you and God. I know, again, this week, I lose my voice. I rebuke that. I suppose during praise and worship, I should just lip sync it because I drink more water too. But what God showed me this week, I shared Friday night. The word came back to me: be prepared. Be prepared. Same as the word came to me back in February. Now it's not just me. I mean, it's not. I'm not spoken for God for everybody. But it has been confirmed. Carol can confirm it. I mean, there's so many other out there this past week saying, be prepared. As in February, when we were at the height of our stock market and stuff, God said, hey, tell them, be prepared. You ain't seen nothing yet. And look what happened. And look at, are we coming through? Amen. Is God faithful to His word? Is He faithful to His people? Wow. So He said, listen, be prepared. And oh my lands, how much more, Pastor? Hey, you haven't seen nothing yet. Because the Word of God tells us that. I know for many, it's waiting for us. We just get through November the 3rd, right? Or November 4th, when's the election day? I don't know, somewhere in November. Okay? Just get through that, boy, the next day. I'm telling you. What's that?
First Tuesday
in November. Okay, okay. It's not going to change. The only difference going to be is how much pressure is felt more on the church. Okay? I mean, right now, you all came in here. Freedom to worship God. Amen? You lift your voices up. You praise God. He's worthy to be praised, is He not? I mean, inside of you, that, I know I can't dance, but man, I just want to, that's all I can do, cause feet are dancing. I mean, I wish I could dance. I mean, but it's that spirit inside of you. You just got to do something. If you don't do something, you're gonna, my head's going to pop out. You know what I'm saying? But we came in. Freedom. Look at California. Churches ordered to close. And they're fighting it. I think it's evident to look that we do, the church does find favor with our president. Can we all say amen on that? Whether you're Democrat or Republican, we find favor. So look at the struggles the church is having. Some should have them even with someone that shows favor to the church. So if the White House doesn't change in the next 4 years, is under the same rule, the opposition is not going to stop. Understand that. Now, if the White House would change, you'll see more pressure on the church like you've never seen before. That's not a Democrat thing. It's not a Republican thing. Right now, running for office, the challenger for the presidency, Biden, some lady, Harris or somebody, they are the most up defending abortion of a president to be and a vice president has ever been in America, ever.
She has 100%
voting record for abortion. 100%. And they are the party of the non-religious. Mr. Obama will tell you that. I'm just telling you what to say. If that occupies the White House, you can imagine the pressure that the church will be under. Amen? It's not going to change us any. We'll still gather here. We'll still worship the Lord. He is worthy to be praised. God gives it for us. He fights our battles. But God wants you to be prepared because some are waiting. All we get through November, hey, either I'm your Lord today or I'm not your Lord. Either I'm your peace or I'm not your peace. Either I'm your strength or I'm not your strength. I will give you enough each day to bring you through this as you follow me. Isn't that awesome? What do we really fear? I mean, we are the body of Christ, called to be a peculiar person. And a lot of you guys are pretty peculiar. Which is good. Which is good. But be prepared. Last time that was spoken, what has taken place since? Was you prepared? I mean, as the body of Christ, as in your spirit realm, okay? But also, are you prepared when I come visit you to offer me some coffee. Turn to Matthew 24. Again, God's word is not here to scare us. It's not here to it's here to enlighten us. It's here to encourage us. It's here to bring us understanding. And to know that God will never forsake His people. He'll never turn His back on His people. And we just embrace Him. And I always have this picture where whatever you're going through, and this is my mind, you know, the Lord is reaching down to whatever it is that you need help with. He's reaching down. But we have to reach up. And many times we cry out to the Lord, but we look this way for the solution. And God says, I'm right here. Have you ever done that? Have you ever cried out to the Lord but did something your own way instead of His way? I think we're all guilty of that, right? So we learn from that. Okay, this is my issue. And reach up and let Him, let His Word, let His Spirit bring guidance to you. But to show you what's going on, or remind you, may I say, because welcome reminders at time. In verse 4 of chapter 24, and Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumor of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains." Okay. Just a reminder, because I preached this a million times in my ministry. Birth pains. When they start, they don't stop. At the beginning, it's kind of tolerable. So maybe, let's just take one birth pain for a second. Parallel school. Man. I mean, those who came before us, Bob, say, listen, we should never take the Bible out of the school. It's the best thing to teach on. So, took prayer out. That wasn't quite so bad. Didn't interfere with me much, you know. I still had my weekends. It didn't bother me a bit, you know. Religion belongs in the house anyway, okay. Abortion. Roe versus Wade. Well, it's a woman's body. She has a right to do with it what she wants to do. So we sat back. But that was another birth pain that we could tolerate. Because it didn't really affect us. That's do what they want. All their answer to God someday. But folks, you got to understand, on the abortion issue, there's so many little girls, ladies, young mothers, they have those because they don't have the hope that we and I have now of Jesus Christ. You ever have a decision in your life to make, and you make the decision, not realize, oh man, you had another decision, but no one told you about it? Listen, God will forgive us of any sin that we've ever committed. Abortion, anything. He will do that. many of us here are of the mature age. But the younger folks can be raised with, that's just part of growing up. If you don't want the kid, it's not life, it's not whatever it might be. That was some more birth pain that was taking place. And look at all the wars we've had. All these things. And our heart grew heavy when we saw this stuff taking place. But it hasn't stopped. Every time you give Satan an inch, he's not satisfied, is he? He wants more. If you're ever surrendered to a sin, he's not done with you yet. He wants you to go a little bit deeper yet. A little bit deeper yet. He wants it till he has you so badly wrapped up that you're so ashamed of it. You figure, well, there's nothing God can do. How can I ask God to forgive me of this sin? But folks, understand this. Christ died for that purpose, to bring forgiveness to us. We'll continue in verse 32 of 24. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches had already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But at that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the Son of Man. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour where you do not think he will. These birth pains, when they started, they're not going to stop. And I shared this before with you. When Jesus speaks about the fig tree, he's talking about Israel. Okay? He referred to Israel as a fig tree three times in the Old Testament. That, hey, they're blooming. They're his fruit. Okay? Well, they were taken to captivity. And what he's saying, hey, now when Israel becomes a state, I'm going to put it in English nowadays language. Hey, when Israel becomes a state again, and that generation will not pass away before the coming of the Lord. So you can see how close we are, because 1948 Israel became a state. Amen? So we know that we are that generation. Now, he says no one will know the day or the hour, but you know the season. And if you have spiritual eyes and they're open, you can see, wow, the thing that Jesus Christ told his people about is taking place today. But he said, just like birth pains, so it's not going to stop. This is not to scare you. This is to prepare you. It's going to get harder and harder. I mean, we go from, I don't remember my Le Mans class, I just remember, I just remember in the living room. How many guys been in the living room? How many ladies? You all have. But it was kind of like this, wasn't it, Chuck? Huh? Marty said, oh, Chuck, I just love you so much. Oh, I felt something. Oh, Chuck said, oh, have a boy. Oh. And pretty soon Marty goes, oh, I felt something else. Oh, Chuck, I just can't wait. And about the fifth time, it's, oh, what did you do to me? Oh, by the eighth time, man, she's going to get a divorce. She's leaving him never again. But after that last pain, you see the joy there. Now, I can't tell you what centimeter we're at today. I'm saying we're probably close to number 6 or 7. So it's going to only increase. Satan knows his time is short on this earth. He's already been judged, defeated, found guilty, and he knows that. He knows there's nothing that he can do to change his destiny and the fallen angels. He hates God so bad that he can't touch God, but he comes after you. Because you are the apple of the eye of the Lord. Again, for us to understand, it's not a cliche, but greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're a born again Christian, the Spirit of the living God resides in you. You've been given his name, his blood, and his word. There's nothing that's impossible for the body of Christ. Nothing. But Satan doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to look at yourself. He wants you to keep your eyes on your flesh. He wants you to keep your eyes on other people. She bought a new car. I don't have a new car. I don't think it's right. She don't know Jesus. Why would she have a new car? And she's a heathen. I've been serving God all my life. I got to duct tape my fender, get to church this morning. See what I'm saying? He wants to get our eyes off the main thing, okay? Whether she drove a new car, I had to duct tape mine. Are we here? Amen. I'm glad you're here. You got to repent for your home. But he tries to get our eyes off of the Lord and on ourselves. You see the ugly stuff going on in our cities. You see the great attack upon the churches. Why? Because you are the greatest threat that Satan has. Eventually, this world will fall under one world order. It is. The Bible already showed that. It's not if, it's when. But we are the greatest stumbling block for that to take place. As we, as the body of Christ, follow Him, Jesus, and stand our ground. I mean, He's having a heyday in some places right now. Fear is so great in the churches that some of them not even going to open up, not even think about it. To next February. And my heart breaks for them because they don't understand God. They don't understand what the Holy Spirit does. They don't understand what the Word of God, the faith that the Word of God gives us. How many souls won't come into the kingdom because they don't trust Him? When He says they go to all the nation and preach the gospel. You say, I don't care what happens to you, I'm with you, you know. If you drink something poisonous, I got you. You get bit by a snake serving me, I got you. You know, what he did, he showed several things that, hey, you're going to encounter this stuff, but as long as you're following me, I got you. There's nothing to fear. Man. I mean, look at the testimony we have from Brother Paul. Just think. When he landed on the island of Papas. Remember he shipwrecked? Everybody remember that? Okay. And the other people were cold and they needed a fire, you know. And he was a prisoner. Can you imagine him walking over? and had this big old thing of wood. And on the island of Paphos, I can't remember the name of the snake, but it's a very venomous snake. Couldn't you see all the wood already there, inspired by God? Can you imagine what goes on? Oh, man. There might be a snake in there. I better not move that. How many people would have died? He had to get to Rome, right? Can you imagine if he hadn't done that? But I believe this. I believe Paul knew the Word of God that was available then. He wrote most of the New Testament. But when Jesus said, hey, listen, even if you get bit by a snake, it won't harm you. Now, was Paul serving the Lord? Did he have any fear moving that pow? No, because he knew he was serving the Lord. He moved the pow, he got bit, this thing is hanging off his hand, he shook it down, people, it's kind of like, okay, 30 seconds, this guy is dead. I'll bet you, Daryl, 30 seconds. What, Bob? You saying 25 seconds? Are you, $5? Okay. Yeah. He went on. Never died. Now, the Lord isn't saying for us to go out and check my hours, Marty, they chase snakes around, okay? But what he's saying, as you serve me, there is nothing to fear. And if I get home today and I get big pile of wood, I got to move, I'm taking a hoe, my shotgun, I'm doing it from a distance, okay? Amen. So don't throw that in the wind. Because some people grab that scripture, and you know, they pass snakes around the churches and stuff. And yeah, I mean, that is crazy. Yeah, I'm out that door quicker than you think of, okay? They say it will be the same. Back in our scripture, he says, it will be the same thing as it was in the day of Noah. See, Noah, he built the ark. It took a long time. About 120 years, we figure, to build that. I mean, a humongous boat. And throughout the time, no doubt people say, what are you doing? Hey, I'm building the ark, man. Flood's coming. God's going to wipe out the world. Sin will be removed. You know, come to God. Oh, you're a crazy old man. You crazy old man. Or whatever they said. But he continued to do that. He continued to do what God called, even though he had him, his wife, three sons, and their wives to build that thing. Now we know that Methuselah, the great grandpa, he knew Jesus, or he knew God. And so there could be a lot of his relatives who were not quite as famous as Methuselah come to know God. Amen? And they passed on, you know. Old age does catch up with us once in a while. Except for Brother Bob. You just keep on going, don't you, buddy? You do. And then Marty, your mama. How many cards you get? 100? Oh, my. I dropped my card off. Donna said, Bill said, most cards he ever seen in Plainfield. So, my land sakes. Of course, I did the same thing everybody else did. You guys sent your card, postage due, right? Yeah, that's just awesome. They just, man. But he said here, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. Man, and that's the world today as we continue to share. We continue to take the Lord with us wherever we go. We are running to about the same encounters from time to time, are we not? And I think what took place here, if you notice in the scripture, they said, now, when the ark was complete, animals were loaded, God brought Noah and his family onto the ark, closed the door, and sat there 7 days before the rains came. Why we think for 120 years thereabouts, Noah built the ark, preparing it. Why didn't God leave the ark there a little bit longer. And Noah had tours of the ark. Hey, look what I built. Look what God built. Listen. He's going to flood the place. Look at this place. Man, look at all these ruins we have. Look at this. Look at that. Because God knew the condition of the heart of those left upon the earth. A time will come when nobody wants to hear the word of God. A time will come when no one will be surrendering their lives to Jesus. Some might, you know, still think you're good people. Oh, that Pat's okay, but boy, she's got a crazy religion. But boy, she makes good cookies, you know. But to come and to surrender your lives to the Lord, a day will come. And that's what happened here. I would assume the minute the ark door was closed and all the animals in there, and if you were one of those left behind and every day you had to walk past the ark being built, and I walked past Noah or his kids, and they're saying, hey, God loves you, but judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Turn away from your sins. Is that your wife you're living with? Your girlfriend? Oh no. Or hey, are you still drunk again? You know what kind of pain that would be? How many people would enjoy that? For maybe 60 years walking to work, going past Noah, and he's bringing that conviction out to you. But you don't want to hear it. Change my life for anybody. I'm just the same as that next person. I bet you when that door closed, and Noah was not speaking the word of God out to people, that conviction wasn't coming anymore. Oh, what a celebration. Woo-hoo! Man, I walked past that ark, not that old man no more. He ain't telling me about his God. Yeah, wow. I felt so much better now. I don't have this pressure. Some reason, Bob, when I walk past that ark every day, and that old man there that Noah was running his mouth about God, I felt kind of bad. You know? He's just a hater. Here's him to judge me. But now, that door's closed. Bonnie, he's not talking to me anymore. Oh, hey, we got a party at my place tonight. Yeah, they closed the door, Noah. But on the seventh day, lightning came. The clouds opened. It had never rained before. The world was water from the bottom up. But on that seventh day, when the rains opened, how many people ran to the ark? How many said, Hey, buddy, I just came here. And that's going to be the church. See, the church is taken out 7 years before total destruction. The church is removed. What we call the rapture. Can you imagine the rejoicing on the earth when the church is removed? Think of that. We're following Jesus. We're sharing His love. Sharing the true gospel. Man, just like Noah. Noah didn't speak, I don't believe. Of course, I wasn't there. Did he, Mom? Noah didn't speak out of hatred. I believe he did not. He spoke, I would say, out of true love for the people. He had to because he's called by God. God wouldn't have called him if he had a heart similar to God. Or a bit more than that. So we are the same here today. As we live for the Lord. We live because of the love of people that God has for people. We don't live to condemn people. We live to share the love of God and show that sins have already been condemned. But there's a way out. There's a lot of awesome life. I mean, it's just, again, we won't die. We just transfer our citizenship from here to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Right, here comes that Bob Dolly again. He's going to tell me about his old days and what he used to do and how he was headed to hell. But one day, he found Jesus. Now his sins are forgiven. His name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He lives for him. And God loves me. I'm so sick and tired of Bob Donnelly telling me that. He thinks he's better than I am. But I just wish Bob Donnelly would shut up. We're in heaven, brother. Rapture takes place. Man, I feel a lot better today. Man, I don't have that Bob Donnelly nagging me all the time. Trying to tell me how precious Jesus is. Feel what I'm saying, church? So we don't condemn people. I mean, aren't the people in the world who aren't born again living the life that we did at one time? And we can see that. Just as people saw our lives the way we were living it and saying, oh man, you need Jesus. Think about that. Who had the greatest impact in your life? The one who threw a Bible and stones at you? Or the one off your hand said, hey, let me help you? Was it someone showing you love? Or someone showing you hatred that draw you to Jesus? I would imagine it was probably love, you know. I mean, again, if you remember a while, we talked about Jimmy Gross. I mean, his love for Jesus. Coming in the jail to preach. Holes in his jeans. I mean, you talk about duct taping your car up. He duct taped Baylor Twine his. But he had that love. He never condemned me. He shared his love. But the time is short. Satan knows he's been sentenced for eternity in hell. He knows that. That's why the things of this world will continue to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Isn't that awesome? No, that's not awesome. But he told us in advance, be prepared. Be in prayer, fasting, and I believe to be prepared at home. We see that it was taking place. I said this Friday, now I'm going to plow a little longer. If you got to go, I understand, guys, if you got to work or something. But I just want to share a few things yet. I want to go to Joshua 1:9. Joshua, and that'll take a while for some of us to find it. That's in the Old Testament. And it's in between Revelations and Genesis. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. And this is God speaking to Joshua, but the same God that we worship today. So the word also comes to us this way. Again, these days that we live in, the stuff that we see going on, I got to remind you again, if you're born again, if you're following Jesus, greater he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God says in verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hmm. God would never command you to do anything, but it won't give you the strength to follow His commandment. Be strong and courageous. I think that's one of the awesome things that we have when we gather here corporately. That we draw strength from one another, that you're not by yourself. You know, all week long, you might think, man, all these people I work with, I'm around. Is there any other Christians around me anywhere? But when you come in here, oh, okay, I'm not by myself yet. I'm not saying you'll be by yourself, but see what I'm saying? To be encouraged, be strong, and be courageous. Again, we just shared this big thing taking place in California. We shared a victory that the body of Christ allowed to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine the celebration in that church today? Now, can you also imagine the encouragement that Pastor John brought to other churches who's been shut down? Hey, wait. They did it. We're going to do it. And so there's another church finding that strength. Or maybe hearing about, the end times and the devil, it's Satan behind all this. Opening the doors back up. I'm praying for a great revival in California. Amen. I pray just all my lands. And again, don't throw out praying for those in authority. Praying for the governor of California. Praying for the mayors of these cities that are shut down. And we was listening to a conference yesterday. We had an awesome thing. We made a statement. It makes you think. When Jesus was conceived, He was brought in by a virgin. Amen? But when He rose from the grave, He was announced by a woman who had 7 demons cast out of her. So God can use whoever has a heart that will yield to Him. Think of that. That woman possessed 7 demons. She didn't want to be. Christ set her free, man, the allegiance she had for the Lord. So again, those are the most terrible people. God can still reach out to them. So let's make sure we continue to pray and intercede for them, that their light will come on. I pray that they are neutralized. I pray the evil they're conducting be neutralized, but that their eyes and ears be open to hear the gospel, and they be set free from their sins. Isaiah 41. Verse 10 to 13. I'll give you a second to get there. God speaking to the church today. Do not fear, for I am with you. Who's with you? Is God a liar? No, He's not. Do not anxiously look upon you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are angered at you will be shamed and dishonored. Those who contend with you will be as nothing and will perish. You will seek those who quarrel with you, but will not find them. Those who war with you will be as nothing and non-existent. For I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand. He says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Man, look at that. I mean, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I'll surely uphold you. That is God's promise to us. So as these birth pains continue, as the pressures get great, we just need to draw closer and closer to Him, right? Less of myself and more of the Lord. I mean, that has to be the intent of our heart. That has to be our life. If we allow these things of God to take place for us, but also through us. And a lot of historical things are taking place. And what the world is headed towards is one world order, one world currency, one world religion. How close are we to that? That will be symbolized completely when the church is removed. But the Bible says that you and I will go through tribulation. But we don't go through the great tribulation, the 7 years. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 27. Let's give you. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. Even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, when I read that to you, you might think, oh, okay, well, what is he talking about? Well, Daniel is saying that a time will come in Israel that there will become a 7-year peace agreement. Okay? When he said, when he's talking here about 1 week, he's talking about 1 week, seven to 7 years. So when this Antichrist raises up, he'll bring a peace on the earth with Israel for 7 years. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. And it's saying halfway through that, the Antichrist himself will go into Israel, Jerusalem, and sit down on the temple and declare himself to be God. That's when the Jewish eyes will be opened up. Because he is not God. But anyway, I share that to let you know this past week, and it was called, I believe, the Abraham Covenant. Anybody hear about that in the news? Anybody at all? I got one? I got a couple. Okay, cool. I mean, President Trump, along with Jerry, which is the ambassador to Israel, the leader of the Muslim nation, came together, and they've got a peace agreement they put together. Muslims, Christians, and Jews agreeing on a peace. And the reason they call it the Abraham, or he had a fancier name for it, I can't say all of it, is because the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews all look at Abraham as Father Abraham. We look at Father Abraham, you know, as the father of faith. I hear Ryan, Father Abraham, he had a son. Okay. But down to the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, eventually comes Jesus. Amen? Well then, for the Muslims, they recognize Ishmael. Ishmael was the first son Abraham had with Hagar, his wife's handmaiden. And so they declare that Father Abraham gave birth to Ishmael, and Ishmael has all the blessings. Okay? And the Jews believe that Abraham is the father of faith, but they don't believe in Ishmael or Isaac. They believe in Isaac, but they do not believe on down the line that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They are still waiting on the Messiah. But they know that Isaac is, or Israel, his name is, the inheritance of Abraham. So they found a common thing. All three of them with Abraham. Now, there's a couple of people ain't too happy right now. Iran is one of them. And what do you say, Russia and China? They're not dancing too much right now either with that. But it, again, it still lines up because the Bible says now in the tribulation period, great tribulation, Russia and China will come against Israel, but be defeated.
Armies from the north.
Of course, Israel is the smallest and most powerful country in the world. I believe more powerful than the United States because they are the chosen people. Okay? But if you have the Muslims, I mean, the Muslim world, I think they have the biggest population. I mean, they're like 3 billion confessing Muslims. You got, 2.4 billion, I think, Catholics at one time. I think the Catholics are catching up because they're still reproducing. No. I say that because I was born Catholic, so don't tell anything. And so you can imagine this army, because China's going to have like 200 million man army or whatever. So it's going to take a lot. But I just show you that that's how close we are to the coming of the Lord. That's how close we are that unfortunately we'll be taken out of here. Unfortunately. Hey, one more day, right? But that's how close we are to Him coming. And anytime I read about the peace agreements taking place, I get so excited. Now, you understand, and if you listen to the news, you catch this. We have reached an agreement. How many times has somebody said, well, isn't it just a temporary one? Because that's what Israel said, you know, and it will just be a temporary one, but it's a peace agreement. How much more is that going to usher in the 7-year one when the Antichrist is raised up? The Antichrist spirit is everywhere. When you see this stuff taking place on the streets, you see this murder increasing, you see the hatred for cops and for judges and for Christians, okay? It's the Antichrist spirit, the same spirit that was upon this earth 2,000 years ago that come against Jesus is still alive today, coming against you and me. Understand that, okay? And it's going to get more and more intense. But remember who you are. Did not God remind us at the very beginning today that He has given you dominion? He's given you power. He's given you strength. He's given you assignment. Probably the only thing we have to fear is ourselves. Oh, it's scary. I won't tell you that. I mean, it's scary. But yeah, have you ever fought a battle when you're scared? I have. Sometimes being scared helps you out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one thing to get what they call sucker punched, okay? You get, wow, you can take it back. You might fall down. Take you a couple of minutes, catch your breath, okay? But when you know that the person's going to hit you, you're prepared for it, right? You might not like the idea of getting hit, but you know who you are. You know if you're a black belt. You don't like the idea, but you don't run. And that's who we are. We know the enemy is going to try to hit us. We don't like the idea, but we know that we have power over the enemy. He has no power over us unless we give it to Him. And the first thing He brings is fear. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. Amen? Amen. Daniel 7:23. Just a couple more. 7:23 in Daniel. I had a timer gave to me this week. That way when I say one more minute, I'll turn it over. Of course, you know you can't see it from back there, right? Daniel 7:23. It says, thus He said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth, and tread it down, and crush it. As for the 10 horns out of the kingdom, 10 kings will arise. I'm going to stop there. This is an intense study into the book of Revelations. But it shows here that this world will come under one world order. And when it does, the whole world will be broken down into 10 kingdoms. There will be 10 people in charge of these kingdoms under the authority of the Antichrist. Okay? So, again, you understand why there's so much pressure, so much fighting going on. Because money, power, greed is very powerful. And if you can be working alongside of the Antichrist, wanting to find favor when this one kingdom takes over, you want to be doing everything you can to bring his kingdom on the earth. So I believe that's why you see so much going on. When you think, man, how stupid can these people be? Some of the stuff our politicians are saying, you think, wow, I mean, it's so stupid. But you got to look at the power behind them. It's the Antichrist spirit. It's the desire to reign, to be one of them kings. You know, in America, you guys are the last stumbling block. I truly believe in the one world order. Your faith you have in Jesus Christ, your love for those who are not yet found, he hates you. He's trying to get you removed. Because once you are gone, man, he'll have total reign. Now, America is not the last Christian nation, or at least the ones in, okay? But if he can get America to fall, the symbol of freedom, the symbol of what it happens when someone puts their faith in God and discovers a new land to worship God. If he can get this thing that was planted for Jehovah's, for his praise, to get it to fall, boom. It's kind of like if you got a fight, you got five people, you got to fight. Oh, you don't want to fight. You take on the biggest one first. You get them to fall, the rest of them is going to leave. And that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to get us to throw down, to walk away, or even get to the point, okay, well, Steve, we'll just have church in your house. It's you and me, okay? But Jesus said for us to go in the whole world and share the gospel. How can we do it in your house, Steve? But he says, as you do go out, I'll be with you. I know the plan and purpose I have for each one of you, God says. I know the number of your days. I know your rewards I have set before you, the Lord says. Be courageous. Be strong. Trust me, God says. One word order. My last verse for today. Well, I got two verses. Is that okay? Again, I know some folks, you got to go to work. You got things going on. I could be up here all day long. Huh? Oh, I better turn that timer again. That's my boy. Where were we at? 7:23? Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 13. Do you have anything in your life that you would do anything for that you wanted so bad that you didn't care what you had to do? I'm not talking about illegal things, but I don't care what it is. I want this so bad, I'll give up, spend the money on pop for a week to have more money to purchase this, whatever it might be. You want it so bad. That's where we find ourselves today. Not with us, because we want the Lord, but with the enemy. He wants to destroy us so much. And he can't if we stand firm on the Word of God. It's kind of like trying to get kryptonite to Superman. You know what I'm saying? He avoids that stuff. He can't weaken him. And that's what Satan's trying to do with you. He's trying to bring sin back into your life, trying to weaken you. And we ain't going to let him do that, are we? Amen. No, But Revelation chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 16. And he calls, well, I'm going to start with 15. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. What we're showing in here this morning is that one world order will come with one world currency. How do you know that? It just says here, no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark. Okay? So the currency will be controlled by a mark, either on the hand or the forehead. And we see now this terminology being played out in our life today. We've heard about the chip. We've heard about taking this vaccine. And if you take the vaccine, then you got to prove somehow that you had the vaccine. And so the easiest way will be having this chip. That way they have all your stuff documented on your hand. And you won't even be able to get into a store to buy or even sell anything without having this chip or this mark to prove that you're not contagious with this virus. I mean, you kind of see how things are lining up. I'm not saying that the chip itself is a mark of the beast. I'm not saying that this virus medicine is evil. I'm just showing you how things are lining up for the day to take place. My Bible tells me if I drink anything, even poisonous, as I serve the Lord, it will have no effect on me. I have no desire, personally, to receive a vaccine. But if it comes down to it, if Miss Vicky's in the hospital, I want to go lay hands on her, and I can't get in there because I don't have the vaccine. All right? Give me the vaccine. Whether it's poisonous or not, I have no fear because my God is with me. Hey, you can't get in the care center to see your mother-in-law, because you don't have this vaccine. Well, if that makes you happy, put it in there. Because my God is greater than any vaccine. I don't need the vaccine. But that will open the door up for me. I'm going to see my mother-in-law. And yes, I want to see my mother-in-law. I have no problem. The chip. You got this chip now to prove that you've had the vaccine. Okay? What will this chip involve when I receive this chip? Do you know what's going to involve? I don't either, so I have no comment on it. I can't tell you. It could be a possibility that you receive a chip to buy and sell with. Then, once everyone is chipped, now comes the allegiance part. You have to pledge allegiance to the one world order. You know, that could be a whole different story then, right? I just know from our studying I truly believe the church is removed before the mark of the beast comes out. Because when the church is removed, there's still going to be people who are not Christians, who are either patriots or they believe in God. They hate the one world order. Okay? And they refuse to take the mark. I do understand that. There'll be those who come to know Jesus when the church is removed. I do know the Bible says if they receive that mark, they are damned for hell for eternity. So there's something. There's something there that will be visible or knowledgeable that you know not to do it, but you do it. Again, I cannot make more comments on the chip because I am still watching it day by day. How's it going to happen, Lord? How's it going to happen? I never see it. I have no desire, I have no intention of having a chip implanted in my body. That could be the last straw. Could be. Well, Starkey, you get this chip, we'll let you buy and sell stuff, and we'll let you go in and see your mother-in-law. Dear Norma, love you very much. Can't see you here, but I will see you in heaven. Your son-in-law, Starkey. But again, as we, it's day by day, amen? Day by day, hey Lord, what's going on? And through prayer and fasting and revelations, whoo, we'll make a, he'll lead us if we listen to him. Amen? Last verse. It is true. We're going to go to Malachi. Bob. All right, Bob. Malachi. And no, we're not going to the money chapter. I know what you're saying. Now, since the church is going to be removed very quickly, send me all your money. No. I'm just kidding you. Last Malachi is a book right before Matthew's. Chapter 4. Matthew's isn't plural. My fault. You sure you didn't have twins? Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. I'm going to go to verse 4, 5, and 6. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Two folks there. He is saying, okay, the spirit of Elijah will come before the day of the Lord. John the Baptist was preaching with the same spirit of Elijah. Amen? The day of the Lord's coming is very near. That spirit of Elijah is now upon the church. Amen? Well, what is that spirit of Elijah? Well, look what John did. John stood upon the Pharisees and Sadducees and said, hey, repent. Repent. For the kingdom of God is coming. Stood up there face to face to those worshiping false gods and presented the truth. And what happened one day? He saw Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Elijah had an issue with Jezebel. Y'all remember Jezebel? Okay. And he got in a contest where her husband, the king, had 450 false prophets, representing false gods. And Elijah, There's only one God. His name is Jehovah, creator of the universe. One we just read about earlier. One who said, I've given you dominion over the whole world. And what Elijah took it serious. He is standing before the king. The power. And there's 450 other religious dudes, if we put it in terminology today, telling the king everything except the truth. Alright, Elijah says, let's prove something here. Let's build this altar and put a sacrifice on it. You call fire down from your God, and I'll call fire down from my God. And whichever God responds, there is true God. The altar was built. The sacrifice was laid on the altar. And these 450 prophets of Baal, of false god, or false religion. See, guys, understand this. Any religion, any group of people that outside the gospel of Jesus is a false religion. Understand that. Has nothing to do with Jehovah. Has nothing to do with Yeshua. Understand that. I don't care how close they look at being a churchy group of people, if they're outside the gospel, it's a false religion. So the 450 folks who are giving a king, man, I'll tell you what, giving all this advice and stuff, worshiping these false gods, had the altar built and they started crying out to their God. And then they started cutting themselves. This went on for hour after hour, you know. Come on! They cut themselves, just lay themselves down. Come on, come on! Come on, Baal! It got to the point, Elijah looked at him. Hey, what's the matter, guy? Hey, do you think maybe your God might be in the bathroom and he can't hear you? Yeah, a little bit louder. And they did. They went on and on. Finally, it's done. Elijah's turn. The altar's there. Sacrifice is put on it. Hey, I'm going to prove to you guys that there's only one God. His name is Jehovah. Hey, servant, run down to the water there and dump some water on this altar. Load after load of water was put on this altar, soaked. There's a moat around the altar filled full of water. And Elijah, who worshiped the one true living God, said, Jehovah, prove yourself today. The fire from heaven came down, burned up the sacrifice, burned up the altar, dried up the water on the moat, and killed the 450 false prophets of Baal. That is the spirit of Elijah that gives you strength to stand in the middle of all controversy, all naysayers. Say, listen, there's one God. His name is Jehovah, creator of heaven and earth. I shall serve him with my last breath. Let God be God. Let everyone else be a liar. And that's the spirit that's brought upon the church today. It's growing inside of you guys. And you feel it. You feel inside of you today that I am sick and tired of compromising. I'm so sick and tired of trying to be politically correct. Amen, church? Are you getting that way? That you've tried so far hard throughout your life not to step on toes because, well, you don't want to be offensive. You love the Lord. You want your people to love him. But you've been tiptoeing around and you're ready to throw up. You're sick and tired of it. That's the spirit of Elijah. Will it cost me my life or what? I shall love the Lord. I shall speak the truth. I will share that in the middle of anyone. Now, it didn't do a lot of good for the 450 people of Baal. I'll tell you what, the prophets. But the very next thing, and I'm closing, Jezebel, the wife of the king. I want the head of Elijah. He got scared and took off. He ran and hid. Wow. I think if he had another brother with him and a Lord, just was, I want his head. If he had another brother with him, say, hey, turn around the tower. You want me to call fire down and watch you run? But he was drained that quick. That quick. He forgot who he was, I think. Fear came over him. But he'll go, recoup, and come back. Understand that. Again, it goes back to, as you stand for the Lord in your life, make sure you do not break fellowship with the saints. We need to encourage one another and remind ourselves. We all need to be reminding who we are at times. Because man, that quick, Spirit of Elijah. So I will return the hearts of the children to the parents. Are your children fall off right now? Maybe that's in words. That's God's word to his people. So when things look like they're going down the tube, you rejoice saying, I know my God. I mean, God isn't done yet. He isn't done yet. And what he's working on, I'm telling you, what he's working on, he's going to use that for his glory. Now, you might not recognize my God right now, but I got a covenant with my God, and you will serve him because you want to surrender your life to him. You're just not there yet. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. God, we just thank you for your presence today, Father. We just thank you, God, for coming and dwelling with us as we worship you, Father God. We didn't sing to you today. We worship you, God. We just pour our hearts out to you. And God, we thank you for the encouragement that your Lord has. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for his spirit. God, we thank you for the spirit of Elijah that you point out upon your church today, Father God. Oh God, we just ask for mercy, Father, mercy. And we do pray for one more day, God, one more day to witness, one more day to love, one more day to serve. Father God, that we know as a master endured all that he did, that we can do the same, God, with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Yes. God, we just want to pray. We want to pray right now for our families, God. We want to pray for our families and our children's children's children, Father, Lord Jesus. And we declare your word is true, and they shall know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And what the devil has meant for evil, Father God, that they are placed in your hands, and you're molding them right now. You're taking these events in their lives, God, and you're going to turn it around and be used for you, just like you did for Mary Magdalene, Father God. No one had any hope for Mary. Oh man, she's possessed. But God, look what you did. And God, that you'll do the same. You're not a God. You're not a God of a respective Father. You haven't changed. You haven't changed, God. So Lord, may we have that strength. May we have those spiritual eyes to see those who are in conflict today of your word. And see them as they will be as they come to you, Father God. Born again, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you so much. God, we pray for the spiritual eyes of this nation. We pray for those, Father God, today as they look upon the world and they hear, God, that you will give them ears to hear, filtered through the Holy Spirit, that they have not just to hear, but also have understanding, that their eyes will show them the things that are taking place, Father God. And God, just give them guidance and utterance and wisdom. And Father, for our president today, and all of our elected officials, God, I just want to pray for the president first, God, and our vice president. God, I want to pray for his protection today. I pray, Father God, for your angel to dispatch around him to continue to defend him, that his ears will be open, Father God, to hear the movement of the Holy Spirit as you speak to him, as you use him, God, in this hour of your people crying out to you, Lord, that he will not weary, he will not waver. They be strengthened mightily, Father God, that you will reveal to him the things of this Antichrist spirit before it's even done, God, that he will be able to derail it in the name of Jesus. And God, for lost souls today, those who have walked with you and turned away, God, we pray for them today, Father God, they shall come back in the fellowship, come back into the kingdom, Lord, that they see that, God, that the guilt that they're carrying with them right now be cast down in the name of Yeshua, Father, and they're to bow their heads today, God, and call upon the name of the Lord and return back to you to be used for you mightily in the days that you've called us to live in, Father. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the hope we share in Christ Jesus. And God, for all those on the front line, for law enforcement and EMTs and fire department and nurses and doctors and all those, Father, who are out there risking their lives for us. We just speak a hedge of protection around them, God, that be safe. Your angels will watch over them, Lord. And God, forgive us. Forgive this nation of our sins, God. Forgive us, Father God, that we do give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.